Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot, and it is Wednesday, so that means it is time for our weekly house call with Dr. Lena Lee, Medical Officer of Health for the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit. Dr. Lee, welcome back to Lake 88.
It's great to be back, as always.
And also joining us, we will be speaking with Gwendy Lapp today, who is a health promoter with the health unit. Gwendy, thanks so much for being on Lake 88 once again. It's been a while, but good to have you back.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having me.
Dr. Lee, we will start with you as we do every week. Now, many health jurisdictions across Canada, including in Ontario, are reporting increases in norovirus and similar gastrointestinal illnesses. So maybe you can start us off by explaining what norovirus is and maybe why it's happening now.
Yeah, so norovirus is, as the name implies, is a virus causes gastroenteritis, sometimes called gastro, sometimes called the stomach flu, misleadingly, because it has nothing to do with the flu. It doesn't give you flu symptoms. The virus isn't similar to the flu virus. But there we have it. That's the name. And really, when we talk about gastro, it's really diarrhea, cramping, vomiting. Some people can get a fever. It really makes you feel very, very crummy. And it lasts for about 24 hours for a lot of people, but sometimes a little bit longer than that. So sometimes it feels like it's, you know, a very brief stint. You feel awful, awful, awful. And then after that, you get better. It is the season for norovirus and GI symptoms now. So in the sort of winter, verging on spring, all winter we've been having some GI viruses, but now is the season for norovirus, and it just spreads from person to person. And the more, like other infectious diseases, the more that we have, the more it spreads.
So how can we prevent the spread of the illness? I have a feeling I know some of it, but when you're getting into this type of virus, a little bit different than what we've been talking about before.
Yeah, so I think we've been talking a lot about respiratory viruses over the past while, and those oftentimes spread because people are coughing, even breathing sometimes will get viruses coming out of your nasal passage, out of your mouth, and out into the environment. And this is different. So norovirus doesn't spread by what we call droplets. It spreads by contact. And so what happens is somebody with norovirus on their hands or on their clothes or other things, that norovirus will then contaminate a surface, oftentimes, mostly through the hands, right? Someone's hand will touch something else. And then the person who doesn't have norovirus, so you, me, we get infected. How that happens is you touch the thing with your hand, and then you bring your hand up to your mouth or your eyes or your nose, and then the virus enters the body through what we call a mucosal passage. It doesn't enter the body through the skin. And so just touching it with your hands isn't enough to cause the infection. It really is putting your hand then up to your face. And so really when we talk about preventing spread, it's all about hand hygiene. So washing your hands with soap and water or with hand sanitizer does also kill norovirus. Cleaning frequently touched surfaces such as tables, doorknobs, phones, keyboards, mouses, all of those things, those are really important. And that's sort of when you yourself are not ill. That's really important to prevent yourself from getting ill from norovirus and other viruses that are GI viruses. If you yourself are ill, what's really important is, again, hand washing so that the norovirus, which it may gross some listeners a little bit. The norovirus comes out of your GI system, right? And so it's really when you're going to the bathroom and you don't wash your hands properly, or you don't wash your things properly, and they get contaminated. That's how the norovirus then gets out into the general public. And so really, hand washing is one of the most critical things when you are ill, to prevent the illness from spreading. The other thing is staying home when you're ill is really, really important as well. And for something like a virus, what's really important to do is actually staying home up, so 2 days, 48 hours after your symptoms resolve. So I think, you know, when people are ill, oftentimes they'll stay at home, but something about norovirus is that it can spread from person to person. Even you may be feeling well after a bout of noro, but then up to 2 days afterwards, you may still be shedding it out of your GI tract. And so you may still be infectious and able to infect other people. So staying home for 48 hours after you feel better is one of the most important things you can do as well.
So have we seen it in outbreak form in local facilities?
Yeah, we sure have. And we do every year. And lots of jurisdictions, like you were saying at the top, really are seeing norovirus. So it's not just us, but we are seeing it in daycares. We're seeing it in long-term care homes and retirement homes. And this is a virus that spreads really easily in these sorts of congregate settings, because as you might imagine, for daycare in particular, kids oftentimes in diapers, and they may have diarrhea, they may be vomiting. All of those things make it really easy to then spread to other kids who are not necessarily, you know, you can't necessarily always keep a kid's hand from going to their mouth. That's part of how they learn and how they interact with the world. So oftentimes for daycare, one kid with norovirus can infect a bunch of other kids. And so again, the thing I want to emphasize here is if you have a kid with vomiting or diarrhea, please don't drop them off to daycare, and don't have them be at daycare for up to 24 or up to 48 hours after their symptoms have stopped. So they're vomiting and diarrhea, and when you're sure that they're actually better, because sometimes they can stop for a little bit, but then continue on afterwards as well. And then, of course, if you yourself have symptoms, not to visit long-term care homes or retirement homes, and also not visiting hospitals, because these are settings where people have vulnerable health and where spread of something like this can happen from person to person. And then when it does, it can be quite severe. So, of course, the last thing to say is, you know, staying home from work, not necessarily going to social events. All of these things are critical parts of stopping outbreaks of norovirus.
Boy, I got to tell you, having a child in daycare, your immune system takes a pounding. But I mean, you get to a point when they're done with the daycare that you feel like you're pretty much immune to anything. I know that's not the case, but of course, it's so easy for things, as you say, to transmit between child and child. So thank you very much for that, Dr. Lee. We really appreciate it. Some great advice there for sure. Now, we're going to bring Gwendy into the conversation here, and we are promoting the Triple P program. So today is Pink Shirt Day. People wear pink shirts to signify the stand against bullying. And boy, let me tell you, local schools, many businesses, other organizations are a sea of pink today. So let's talk about why, Gwendy, we need to raise awareness for bullying.
Yeah, for sure. And it's great to hear that, you know, the sea of pink is out there right now. Bullying, you know, unfortunately, it's a common occurrence, particularly among our school age children. And one of the things about bullying is that for us as adults, often it's hidden. We don't always see it. But for our children, it's really upsetting, and it can really harm their self-esteem, as well as change their attitude about school or whichever, wherever the setting is that they may be experiencing the bullying.
And it's really, it does happen. I guess we talk about it mostly with children, but it can happen at any age, really. Adults can go through it too. Yeah. It can be different kinds of abuse. And as you say, it can have quite the effect on someone's mental health, whether they be a child or not. What are some of the signs to watch for when you're paying attention here and looking for maybe some changes in your child or someone else?
Yeah. And I think when we think of children, just, you know, want to acknowledge that we really do see parents as being the experts on their own children, right? And so some things to look for would be, you know, if you notice that their self-esteem seems to be sliding, that, you know, they're now heading into situations where before, you know, there was no issues, and now they appear to be, you know, a little bit anxious or fearful or even distressed in those situations. For our kids that, you know, have done really well in school, when you start to see a decline in their academic performance, or even, you know, sometimes, you know, our children may come home and tell stories about, you know, feeling isolated, they had nobody to play with, you know, at school. Those are the times to really, you know, start to pay attention to what you're seeing and hearing from your child.
And Dr. Lee, maybe I'll get you to weigh in on this as well, taking sort of the mental health perspective too, because when it comes to what you've just described, Gwendy, these are things that Dr. Lee, that we certainly can also see as signs of other problems too.
Yeah, absolutely. And so I think something to consider is sometimes there's things in people's lives that can create problems or issues with their mental health. And so it may not, you know, it may have to do with mental illness, but it may actually not. And it has to do with having poor mental health, not wanting to go out and about in their day, not enjoying their days. And I think one of the really important things about kids and their mental health is that having good mental health growing up is really important for the way that they relate with themselves into adulthood, the way that they relate with the world around them and interpret the world around them, especially young children, as they're learning how to interact with other people and in social settings. Bullying can really affect how they think of themselves. You know, we talked about self-esteem, but also how they think of the world and the way that they interact with it. Of course, these are things that, you know, we learn that, and we can also learn new things, right? New ways to cope, new ways to be resilient. And that's a really important role that parents play in that, in helping their kids understand the situation, helping their kids deal with anxiety and difficult situations. And the other thing I want to mention is that sometimes there's something else going on which does have to do with mental illness, and that may look similar in some ways. So, you know, kids who are anxious, avoidant, you know, doing poorly in school, all of those things. What's important, like Gwendy said, is parents are oftentimes experts on their kids, and speaking to kids about what's going on, whether they have questions, whether there's something else going on with their life, and as well, you know, getting a sense of how things have gone over time. So is this something really dramatically different, or there's been a slow shift over time? These are all elements that are hopefully helpful with parents. And of course, if there's questions, if you're not sure, we always have resources, as well as speaking to your healthcare provider, speaking to the school, etc.
So, Bunny, you were talking to us about paying attention to what your child is saying. Maybe you could expand on that a little bit and tell us what else we should be doing if we suspect something is going on as far as bullying.
Yeah. So, you know, and even as Dr. Lena said, you know, paying attention is so important. And as parents, we often get the chance to hear the stories that our children have to say. And so when you do hear something concerning, you know, particularly that you feel, you know, it has to deal with bullying, those aren't matters that we want to let slide. So those are things that you do want to take immediate action on as a parent. And one of the key things that you can do is talk to the adults that are in charge, wherever that bullying is occurring. So whether it's, you know, the sports or activity center or the schoolyard, because sometimes, you know, as I mentioned before, as adults, we don't always see what's going on. You know, it's often not possible to monitor every single situation. And so once an adult is aware that, you know, perhaps, you know, teasing with malicious intent or somebody's feeling left out is occurring, they can kind of get on top of those situations. And often that can be enough to, you know, ease the situation. And so the child again feels safe. And again, as a parent, continuing then to monitor, whether that's, you know, continuing to check in with your child or whether that's includes checking in with the adults who are in charge just to see what they're seeing and to ensure that your child still feels safe.
And it's important that when you go to help your child that one, that you listen, but you're almost acting as sort of a guide for them to ensure that, well, I mean, for lack of a better description, that you have the story straight so that you can, so that you can then take the appropriate action, right?
Yeah, for sure. And it's one of the ways you can do that is, you know, asking your child questions to get further information. Summarize what you hear them saying, because sometimes even just in saying it back to them, they'll either correct you or they'll, you know, give you additional information that can be really helpful. And then we always want to try to help empower our children, because, you know, we all know that as parents, we can't always be there, you know, guiding them or supporting them or, you know, wrapping them up so that they don't experience these types of situations. So, you know, talk with them about possible solutions and what are some coping things or what are some things that they can do to help themselves out in that situation. So, and again, you know, if your child decides that they're going to, you know, put something in place, do those check-ins with them to see if that situation is improving over time, and so that you can just help them out with that.
Dr. Lee, it sounds like one of the most important parts here is to keep communication open with your child, with the adults, the supervisors, teachers, daycare providers in their lives. And it's also important to know that there are more resources available through the health unit.
Yeah, absolutely. So we do provide some information online. We also provide some more sort of like if we have clients referred to us, more one-on-one conversations. And as well, there are a number of resources online. I would say the Pink Shirt Day resource is really good as well. So that's a place to check out. The other thing I wanted to mention is, as Gwendy was saying, you know, there really isn't a single way that kids, and going back to adults as well, you know, and adults deal with bullying. It depends on the situation. It depends on the people involved. And really, you know, talking about solutions, thinking through ideas, those are really important ways in which parents and other people in people's lives can help. The other thing is, like you said, Bob, making sure that the person being bullied has connections, a network of people that they can rely on, whether it be parents, friends, counselors at school or teachers, etc. Those are really helpful. And, not just for providing some suggestions or thinking through ways forward, but also to make sure that people feel they know that there is a support, and there's people on their side rooting for them and helping them. And, sometimes in school, or in certain activities, it can be a difficult time for kids, right? And it's important for people to know that the situation can get better, either because they can solve the situation, but sometimes to be, just honest and realistic, sometimes the bullying situation isn't easy to solve there and then, but that there are other ways in which people can feel supported in their day-to-day.
I want to thank you both for taking the time to speak with us today. Very important information as always, Dr. Lena Lee. Thank you. We look forward to speaking with you next week.
Yeah, absolutely.
And Gwendy Lapp, health promoter with the Leeds, Grendel and Lanark District Health Unit. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
I'm Bob Perot. Remember, you can get more information at healthunit.org. We will have another edition of In Focus tomorrow. Thanks so much for listening and have a wonderful afternoon.